I'm Patrick Madrid, publisher of Envoy Magazine. Welcome to Search and Rescue, the program that will teach you how to bring your family and friends into or back into the Catholic Church. The great Saint Isidore of Seville once said,
"Learning, unsupported by grace, may get into our ears, but never reaches the heart. But when God's grace touches our innermost minds to bring understanding, His word that has been received by the ear sinks deep into the heart."
Listening with your heart is essential to your success as a search and rescue apostle, but it isn't enough. Once your careful listening has enabled you to discern the real issues that may be keeping your cousin Diana or your friend Steve outside the church, you have to know then how to address those issues so that Diana or Steve will be able to understand and accept what the church teaches. To be able to do that, you must do some homework and learn some basic skills. Remember, you can't give what you don't have. You may be all fired up about sharing the faith with other people. You may have learned to listen, and you may be ready and willing to speak to those around you. But unless you prepare yourself with knowledge of the faith, your enthusiasm and goodwill won't get you anywhere. What we have to do is proclaim what the church teaches. We are not called to say more or less. We're told to proclaim what the church teaches and only what the church teaches. And if we look at that, we realize that a lack of study can also harm our own faith, because after all, we are called to hold and believe what the church teaches. And if we don't educate ourselves on what the church teaches and why she teaches these things and the practices of the church and so on, we can also fall into the trap, the classic trap, of proclaiming something that the church doesn't really teach. Another way to say this would be, let's not make the mistake of being what I call more Catholic than the Pope. Ubi Petrus, ibi Ecclesia, which means where Peter is, there is the church. The meaning of this Latin maxim is clear. If we're with Peter and his successors, the popes, we're with the church. To be effective in your own search and rescue missions to your friends and your family members, even to strangers, you have to be sure that you are sharing authentic Catholicism, not some variant of it. You mustn't leave out elements of the faith, nor can you add things that don't belong. How can you be sure you're with the Pope and that you stand for authentic Catholicism? The simplest way is to ask yourself three questions. Have I made an effort to ensure that I am familiar with the basic teachings of the Catholic Church as set forth in the Catechism? You can't believe in something you're ignorant of. So when it comes to the doctrines of the Catholic faith, you have to make the effort to know what they are so that you can believe in them. Another question. Do I willfully reject one or more of the teachings of the Catholic Church? To be with the Church, you must embrace her teachings, even the hard ones that may require you to change the way you live. You mustn't disregard the Church's teachings on moral issues or reject doctrines such as purgatory or the reality of personal sin and the need for repentance. Another question. Do I willingly assent to and do my best to live by all the teachings of the Catholic Church as taught by the Pope and by the bishops in union with him? This third question is the flip side of the previous one. It's important to examine yourself to see not only whether you reject a doctrine or practice of the faith, but also whether you're making an honest effort to embrace what the Church teaches. Notice also that it isn't necessary for you to comprehend fully each doctrine the Catholic Church teaches. As the great writer Frank Sheed once put it, "Christ did not become man so that man could become a theologian." That's a very wry way of looking at a very important truth. The thing is, Christ simply wants you to do your best to understand the Church's teachings and assent to them freely. For example, not even the holiest Pope or the wisest Church Father fully comprehended the doctrine of the Trinity. Yet each of these men upheld that doctrine and freely assented to it. And the same is true of the Church's teaching about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. No human being has the natural capacity to grasp the vastness of this truth. But we believe it nonetheless because Christ and the apostles taught it. We read about it, for example, in John chapter 6 in Matthew chapter 26, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for example. To reject that teaching, the teaching of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, is to reject Christ himself, because after all, the magisterium teaches this, and Jesus said, "He who listens to you listens to me, and he who rejects you rejects me." He said that in Luke 10:16. So he's speaking there to the magisterium and telling the magisterium, when they teach, we must accept what they are teaching, because that's Christ teaching through them. And so it's really as simple as this. If you and I don't know our faith, we risk sharing a defective Catholicism that includes things the church really doesn't teach or require, and it may not include things that the church really does teach and require from us. For example, if you haven't educated yourself in the faith, you may have a sincere but misguided conviction that to be truly Catholic, everyone must follow the forms of prayer or piety that you follow or that you practice. Maybe it's a particular Marian devotion that you favor. With this conviction, you can knowingly or unknowingly communicate the message to a non-Catholic that this Marian devotion, the practice of piety surrounding this Marian devotion, is required for all Catholics. So even if you're sincere in your efforts to share the faith, you can still fall into that subtle trap of becoming more or less Catholic than the Pope. You may have heard the quip about the person who sincerely believes there's no poison in his cup of Kool-Aid. He may be sincere, but if there is poison in his cup, he's sincerely wrong. And in spite of his sincerity, he'll wind up sincerely sick, if not worse. So how do you avoid this trap? First, study the faith. You'll soon learn that the church teaches certain things and not others. You'll find out what she does teach, what she doesn't.
If you are to serve God with your mind, to study is a grave obligation for you.
I think those words apply to all of us. We have to remember that there's no such thing as an add water and stir approach to explaining and defending the faith. St. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17,
"All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work."
And one of the greatest of the good works that the written word of God will equip you for is the search and rescue mission that the Holy Spirit has prepared for you personally from all eternity. The fact is that many Protestants and others will simply stop their ears and not listen to the case for the Catholic Church if it isn't made from Scripture. So if you want to be successful in sharing your faith with your non-Catholic friends, you'll need to develop some basic Bible skills. First, pay attention at Mass. Every Mass on Sunday, including the Masses every day, contain Bible readings. On Sunday Mass, we have four Bible readings, and every daily Mass contains three. Over the course of the Catholic Church's three-year liturgical cycle, you'll hear most of the entire Bible read from the pulpit. Another thing you should do: get in the habit of reading the Bible every day. God is pleased and glorified when you make an effort to spend at least a few minutes a day studying sacred scripture. They're not hard to find, and there are books available, such as the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that will even supplement your study of the Bible with good Catholic commentaries. Also, papal encyclicals, the writings of the Church Fathers, and study guides, especially the Catechism of the Catholic Church, these things will ensure that you understand Scripture according to the authentic interpretation that has been faithfully handed on to us by the Church from the time of the Apostles. Also, buy a study Bible and mark it up. And no, I'm not suggesting that you deface the Bible. Just find a trustworthy Catholic edition of the Bible, such as the New American Bible or the Navarre Bible Series or the Revised Standard Edition Catholic Version, or of course the classic Douay Rheims Bible, a very beautiful translation, or some other approved Catholic edition, and use a pen and a highlighter marker to set off or mark key passages in your Bible, and that way you can put your own notes and your own cross-references. Read prayerfully the Psalms and the Canticles, and learn from them how to live in accordance with God's will. And you'll also be able to reflect on the lives of the holy men and women that you read about in Scripture. Men and women such as Moses, Susanna, of course the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, the Apostles, and especially Christ himself. And also, pray for the grace and the courage to follow their examples, which means that we need to meditate on their virtues, the virtues that Scripture teaches us, especially in the Gospels and in St. Paul's letters.
Mary, I offer you all my prayers, works, joys, sorrows, and sufferings for the love and honor of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against your Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Amen.
It's fun.
It's free.
It's Wings, EWTN's weekly e-newsletter delivered to your inbox free each week. Read about upcoming special programming.
And learn what's new at EWTN, radio, TV, and internet.
Just send an email to radio@EWTN.com.
Be sure to put Wings in the subject line.
Wings, a free service from your friends at the Global Catholic Network, EWTN.
Next time you visit EWTN.com, be sure to check out the religious catalog section. You'll find a wide variety of Catholic products. From Bibles to rosaries, there's something for everyone. And you can order online. It's easy, safe, and secure. Shop the religious catalog 24 hours a day at EWTN.com.
Be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Let's return to Search and Rescue with Patrick Madrid on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Here are a few other ways that you can prepare yourself for explaining and defending the faith, so that when an opportunity presents itself, you're going to be ready, willing, and able to engage in your search and rescue mission. The other thing I mentioned earlier, studying the Catechism. If you study the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in addition to reading Scripture every day, you're putting yourself on a catechetics crash course. And this is going to involve the reading of the three paragraphs or more from the Catechism every day. You can even key your reading in the Catechism to the particular Bible passage that you read each day by looking up that Bible passage in the back of the Catechism to see which paragraphs in the Catechism correspond to that Bible passage. Another thing I recommend that you do is read good books and listen to tapes on the Catholic faith. Read those books that are going to increase your knowledge of the faith. If you're able to, some people are, read a book every week or every 2 weeks or at least every month. And if you do this, it will dramatically increase your confidence in sharing the faith. It's also going to make you hunger more. You're going to want to learn more to deepen and strengthen your love for Christ and His Church. Finally, it's important that you listen to cassette tapes on Catholic themes and on apologetics as a way to supplement your reading. You can do this while you're driving to work or when you're working around the house. It's important to study church history in addition to the tapes and to the other books that I'll mention. As John Henry Newman once said, to be deep in history is to cease to be Protestant. That statement is not meant to be insulting in any way to Protestants. Rather, what John Henry Newman meant by that was when good, sincere, devout Protestants encounter church history and they realize that the early church was indeed Catholic, they recognize that the claim of the Catholic Church is viable in a way that they didn't understand before. So it's very important that you as a Catholic know the history of the church so that you'll be better able to share that history, those facts, those details with your Protestant friends. You see, John Henry Newman knew that history is the weak link in most non-Catholic arguments against the Catholic Church. Let's take your Protestant roommate, for example. He may cite certain pre-learned Bible verses to try to disprove a Catholic doctrine or a practice, such as infant baptism or the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. You're going to be much more able to respond effectively to this Bible-only approach with not only the Bible verses that you need to know, but have those Bible verses coupled with the historical evidence so that you can show that rather than engaging in a pointless game of biblical badminton, you can show that your interpretation and his interpretation, although they vary, can be compared with what the early Christians believed in the first, the second, the third century. And this is very important when you're speaking to Protestants or even with groups outside Christianity, such as Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. There are many non-Catholics who are very hazy about the history of Christianity before the time of the Protestant Reformation. So this affords you an opportunity to use objective, verifiable, historical evidence to help you make the case for Christ and the Catholic Church. This means that you need to become familiar with the Church's tradition. Now remember that tradition itself is different from Church history. Tradition comprises the religious teachings and practices handed down, whether in a written form or an oral form, from the beginning, from Christ himself, and from the apostles. Now, this is what we would say the lived understanding of the church of the deposit of faith. In other words, we know what's revealed to us in sacred scripture, and tradition helps us understand the meaning of what is revealed to us in sacred scripture. And even though they reject the notion of tradition itself, some non-Catholics, such as Protestants, for example, embrace certain elements of Catholic tradition, such as, for example, the canon of Scripture or the apostolic authorship of the Gospels. Take the Gospel of Matthew, for example. It's an anonymous document. That Gospel nowhere says who wrote it. There's no internal reference to the identity of the author. Another tradition that's held by many non-Catholics, the worship of God on Sunday instead of the Sabbath, this on Saturday, or the belief in the cessation of general revelation, that general revelation ended with the death of the last apostle. These convictions, and they are true convictions, they are correct convictions, they come from tradition, not from Scripture. Another thing we have to do is improve our critical thinking skills. These are going to help us discern logical fallacies and inconsistencies in the arguments that are sometimes leveled against the Catholic Church. Now, please keep in mind this word of caution. When you study non-Catholic arguments, make sure that you do so with support so that you won't be led astray by these arguments. Let your prayer group or a good Catholic friend or your pastor, a priest friend or your spiritual director, let somebody know what you're doing and let them know ahead of time, so that they can support you with prayer and also check up on your spiritual situation. The Bible warns about this. It says,
two are better than one, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 10 and 12.
The key advice here is, don't go it alone. Be sure that you have plenty of help in the form of prayer support, accountability, and assistance when you begin to study the arguments and teachings of non-Catholic groups. Studying Scripture will help you discuss the faith with non-Catholics who believe in Christ and the Bible. But what about those who don't? You may know atheists, maybe Buddhists or Hindus, New Agers or agnostics. You might even know people who believe in a generic God, but who have been so swamped with the errors of pop philosophy and self-help spirituality books that they really have no idea at all who God really is, or even how they can come to know and love Him. If you want to bring a non-Christian loved one into the church, be at least moderately informed about the kinds of religious issues that concern them, such as the existence of God in the case of an atheist, or the problem of evil, or the Christian claim that Christ is God, and the claims of the Bible and the Catholic Church. There are many excellent books on this subject, but the key is that you need to study up a little bit so that you know how to talk about these subjects when they arise. These books are going to give you good information, but the best way to put them into practice is to use the information in the books in talking with the people that you know, especially non-Christians, and if you know atheists, especially with atheists. I also recommend that you keep an evangelization stock room somewhere in your house. You can do this by developing a cache of materials such as tracts or books and tapes. Great apologetics materials like that are all around. These will be things that you can give to people who are estranged from Christ and the church. And not only will these materials, like books and tracts and tapes, be handy references for you, they'll also help you help your loved ones. And you can begin building this storehouse of knowledge of the faith almost immediately. Another thing you can do is to start an evangelization club. Now, this can be an informal club where members get together every week to talk about evangelization. You can pool your money as a group so that you can buy a large quantity of Catholic books and tapes or tracts. And then, as a club or as a team, you could pass them out door to door in your neighborhood or in some other public place, like at the beach or in a park. Now, I grant the fact that this kind of taking it to the streets approach may not be for everybody, but I have seen it work. In fact, I've done it myself, and I know that conversions can happen as a result of this kind of work, the work of passing out Catholic materials.
All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
Practice sharing the faith. Practice, practice, practice. This, in my experience, is the easiest and the most fun. You can practice how to share your faith every day. You don't even have to practice it with other people. The material, the information that you read in the books and that you listen to on the tapes, those are going to become much more ingrained in your memory if you practice how to recall the answers to an argument, for example, that your coworker brought up against the Catholic Church. He may have said something like, "The Bible doesn't teach the Catholic doctrine of the Eucharist." Well, in your mind, you could begin rehearsing how you would respond to that. Begin asking yourself, for example, where would you look up the Bible passages that speak about this doctrine? But you also have to be orderly in studying the faith, because the order in which you study the teachings of the faith are going to have a dramatic impact on how well you learn them. And this is certainly true in the way we explain the faith to others. So just as you wouldn't try to learn calculus before you had first mastered the times tables, long division, algebra, etc., in the same way, you shouldn't try to conquer all the nuances of biblical interpretation and the fine details of some theological concepts before you have first developed a basic knowledge of Catholic teaching and the basics of Scripture, because in this way you're going to be better prepared to share that with others. We must start our efforts to deepen our understanding of the Catholic teaching on whatever it might be, the Eucharist, Mary, the Pope, the sacraments. We have to start with the big rocks of our faith. And the big rocks begin with teachings like the Trinity, the incarnation of Christ, God's love for us, salvation, the reality of heaven and hell. And once we have gotten those big rocks, so to speak, in place, then we can move on to the finer points of Catholic doctrine. We can move into areas such as the Eucharist, the communion of saints, purgatory, Marian doctrines, the sacraments, the relation between tradition and Scripture and the papacy. Remember the old saying, expect it when you least expect it. This is really good advice for the search and rescue apostle for you, because you never know when you're going to face an opportunity for sharing the faith. So prepare yourself for those unexpected search and rescue missions by studying, by gathering materials that are going to equip you to be ready, willing, and able to take advantage of those unexpected opportunities to draw souls to Christ and to the Church. Start preparing for your search and rescue mission today. As I said, your initial steps are simple. First, pick up your Bible and begin reading it. Second, spend a few minutes each day studying the Catechism. Third, regularly read good Catholic books and listen to tapes that explain church teachings, teachings that your loved ones may have questions about. Even if you can only find a few minutes to do it here and there, the more you study the faith, the more you'll know about it. And the more you know about the faith, the more effectively you'll be able to explain it and win for Christ those who are separated from Him and His Church. Ask yourself now, how well do I know my faith? Which areas do I need to study further? can I distinguish between the beliefs and practices that all Catholics must adhere to and those that are optional? If I were to face an opportunity to share the faith today, would I be ready? And now for our search and rescue action agenda. First, set aside some time each day to read scripture. Set aside some time each day to read the catechism. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand elements of the faith that you don't currently understand. Now, end your resolutions with the following prayer from St. Thomas Aquinas.
Ineffable Creator, who from the treasures of your wisdom have established three hierarchies of angels, have arrayed them in marvelous order above the fiery heavens, and have marshaled the regions of the universe with such artful skill, you are proclaimed the true font of light and wisdom, and the primal origin raised high beyond all things. Pour forth a ray of your brightness into the darkened places of my mind. Disperse from my soul the twofold darkness into which I was born, sin and ignorance. You make eloquent the tongues of infants, refine my speech, and pour forth upon my lips the goodness of your blessing. Grant to me keenness of mind, capacity to remember, skill in learning, subtlety to interpret, and eloquence in speech. May you guide the beginning of my work, direct its progress, and bring it to completion. You who are true God and true man, who live and reign, world without end. Amen.
Thank you once again for joining me for another episode of Search and Rescue. I'm Patrick Madrid, and I'm wishing you all the best in Christ.